Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, good morning, Doc.
Morning.
All right, tree spray.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Morning.
Yesterday, when we left off, you were testifying about the decision-making process of the defendant and what she told you about that. Going to what she told you about the voice and what it said to her, did the defendant tell you that the voice told her where to kill the children?
No.
Did the voice tell her how to kill the children?
No.
Did the voice tell her what to use to kill the children?
No.
Did the voice tell her in what order to kill the children?
No.
Did the voice tell her where to try to kill herself?
No.
Did the voice tell her in what way to kill herself?
No.
The fact that the voice, according to the defendant, the voice didn't tell her any of those things, but instead just said, kill the kids so you can kill yourself. Is that significant in your evaluation in any way?
Yes.
How so?
Well, in the small amount of time that Ms. Clancy had in the home without her husband, it was important in order to carry this out, as well as her suicide, to do this quickly, methodically, and the like. And so this is having no instructions as to how to do it, but being able to execute those decisions, including being able to get a phone call and then return it to her husband in the process of all of this. Certainly the phone call was not expected. That is surprising that she was able to accomplish all of this without any other kind of direction or plan.
Does that indicate to you that she was making decisions about those things, about where and how and when?
Your Honor, this is, again, For the record, direct examination is leading by objector to have a standing objection.
Yeah, if you could just rephrase that.
What does the fact that she was able to do all of that indicate to you, if anything?
Well, it indicated that she had control. Control of the sequence of what she was doing throughout.
Doctor, you talk in your report about interpersonal psychological theory of suicide. What is that?
Well, that has to do with the decision-making process or the capability for someone who attempts suicide.
And are there three parts to that theory?
Yes.
And what are they?
Well, one would be called aloneness or the sense of isolation, people not understanding. So that is a real difficult challenge for people to face. They feel that they can't fully share with others. Another is burdensomeness. If someone feels that they are a burden to others, that is also something that we find is a component to those who make serious suicide attempts and completions. And third is what I would call capability. So you can have that sense of aloneness. You can have that sense of burdensomeness. But if you don't have the capability of taking your life, you can be very suicidal, but not ultimately accomplish the suicide. It does not mean that you're not suicidal. But that issue of capability is one that's very difficult because we have a natural will to live. And that is the most difficult thing for people to overcome.
The thing that's the most difficult thing to overcome, that's the capability of actually committing suicide. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And this theory in the three parts, did you compare what Ms. Clancy told you and what you saw in the records to this theory and have any conclusions about that?
Yes.
And what were they?
Well, certainly, you know, the documentation from the medical and mental health records, you know, demonstrates that sense of isolation she felt, even in the company of others. That sense that she was just having a problem that was difficult for her to understand, difficult for others to understand, and of course the suicidal feelings that came about, and then ultimately those feelings about harming her children. This is not something that she could share. The sense of burdensomeness, she had planned to go back to work, as she had for her first two children, Cora and Dawson. And the time that she was expecting to go to work kept extending because she just did not feel mentally healthy enough to be able to return to work and to function. And so in some of the documentation where she filled out concerns and was asked about the kind of stressors in her life, she indicated that financial was one of the stressors that she was encountering. So to believe that her brain had been damaged, that she was not able to do what she loved, which was labor and delivery nursing, but also not in a position to help support the family, really was a would be a burden for anyone, and certainly that sense of burdensomeness was something that I believe she was experiencing. And then the last component, capability, I truly believe that her suicide attempt was very, very serious, which is why she employed three different methods. the fact that the use of the knife and the lacerations were not deep doesn't mean that she wasn't intending to kill herself with a knife. But oftentimes that, as I mentioned, is the most difficult thing. So I think the employment of the three different avenues, locking the door, and also not being dressed for the cold, indicate to me that this attempt was very very, very serious, despite the fact that the use of the knife was not successful in cutting her arms, cutting her neck.
And so, doctor, in terms of the cutting on the arms and the neck not being sufficient to cause death, is that what you're referring to? Is that as someone faces difficulty or an inability to be capable of actually following through to commit suicide?
Correct.
So in this case, it's your opinion that she was trying to commit suicide but struggling with that third capability issue?
Correct.
Now, you testified yesterday about the intrusive thoughts that Ms. Clancy was having about harming herself in the fall leading up through December into January. And those thoughts at times, would it be accurate to state that Ms. Clancy reported at times that taking Ativan helped with those thoughts?
Yes.
And was there anything significant in your review of the case in terms of her reporting that Ativan helped her with those thoughts?
Yes.
How so?
So Ativan is lorazepam, a benzodiazepine. This is a medication that is very helpful for treating anxiety. It also can help relax people, help them sleep, which was very helpful to Ms. Clancy. And she stated that when she had the intrusive thoughts, taking the Ativan resolved those thoughts. And I think that's significant because it's not a medication. Ativan, lorazepam, is not an antipsychotic medication. So it's not meant to treat psychosis. It makes people feel more calm. And sometimes it's used for people who are having significant symptoms. But in terms of actually treating psychosis, making a voice go away, it's just not designed to do that.
And doctor, did the fact that the intrusive thoughts went away when taking the Ativan, according to Ms. Clancy, give you further evidence that it was in fact internal thoughts and not an external voice?
Yes.
Now, if someone is experiencing psychosis and is experiencing command hallucinations, can that person still know the difference between right and wrong?
Yes.
How so?
Well, hallucinations, even command hallucinations, when they occur, do not propel an individual to automatically obey them. And in fact, many people will engage in behaviors to stop the actions that the voice is claiming. That's something that makes sense, particularly when the command is just so serious and so against someone's values. So it's possible and common for people to engage in behaviors to avoid doing what a command hallucination is saying.
And doctor, is it possible for someone who is experiencing psychosis and command hallucinations to conform their behavior to the law?
Yes.
And how so? Is it basically what you were just telling us?
Yes. If someone is having a command hallucination to do something out in public, but there is a police officer nearby, it certainly is possible for that person to choose not to engage in that behavior because of the consequences. Even though a voice might be saying this, there's other decision-making going on based upon the environment.
Now, Doctor, in your evaluation of Lindsay Clancy, did you come to an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to whether or not she was suffering from a mental disease or defect on January 24th, 2023?
Yes.
And what was that opinion?
I believe that Ms. Clancy was suffering from a mental disease or defect, and I felt that based upon the presentation, a bipolar II diagnosis seemed to make the most sense given the symptoms of insomnia that she had that were precipitated by the Zoloft. And this was just very, very significant. And while it didn't fulfill all the criteria or many of the criteria, if she were a patient of mine, I would diagnose her as bipolar II, because I would want to make sure that any doctor who saw her afterwards would be very wary of using an SSRI antidepressant in treating her.
And doctor, you mentioned the drug effect, Zoloft had an effect, and SSRIs might have an effect. Is there a difference when you're treating someone and they're taking medications between being over-medicated and having an adverse reaction to medication?
Yes.
And what is the difference?
Well, when we think about side effects, that is an example of a medication having a response. Now, sometimes we have side effects when we're not necessarily over-medicated, but we put up with those side effects. When there is too much medication, certainly we can experience those side effects. For example, over-sedation, there are some medications that can cause stimulation, so people are not able to sleep. An adverse reaction is much more serious. An adverse reaction could be, for example, an allergic reaction that could cause death, or some type of reaction that you don't see in most people but has been reported. So there is a difference between side effects, no matter how difficult they are, and what we would call adverse effects, which can be extremely serious.
And in your review of the records of the medications that the defendant was prescribed from September through December, did you see any evidence of her having adverse effects from the medication?
Well, the insomnia secondary to the Zoloft was very concerning to me. And it would mean not just cutting the Zoloft back, but stopping it. I would say that the Zoloft was in precipitating insomnia. I mean, she reported 48 hours straight of not being able to sleep, that was an adverse effect. And an adverse effect really requires one to stop the medication.
And that is what Dr. Jennifer Tufts did with Ms. Clancy, correct? She had her stop the medication?
Correct.
And in reviewing those records again from September through December of 2022, did you see any evidence that Ms. Clancy was over-medicated?
Mm-hmm. she experienced some significant side effects from some of her medications. She was given, I think, nurse practitioner Paul gave her clonazepam, which is also a benzodiazepine. And she really had an uncomfortable reaction to that. Just woke up and felt, you know, quite confused. So she stopped that medication, understandably. Seroquel is a medication, quetiapine, that at high doses can cause some significant side effects. At lower doses, it generally helps treat insomnia. At higher doses, it it can have more significant effects. And in terms of just ability to think and organize one's thoughts. However, Ms. Clancy, in December of 2022, chose at that time to continue on Seroquel, a combination of Seroquel and Valium. Nurse practitioner Gelada had suggested another medication, olanzapine, Zyprexa, which she's taking now. And Ms. Clancy asked that she continue on the Seroquel at that point and the Valium. So, you know, it's a challenge. One has side effects, but one also sees benefit in the medication. And certainly that combination at that time, I think it was around December 7th, December 9th, that was really helping her sleep. And so she asked to continue on those two medications.
So I guess when I ask about over-medication and you talk about the side effects of the medication, there seems to be a disconnect between maybe what a lay person calls over-medicated versus what the medical definition of that is. So is what you're saying that being over-medicated medically means having side effects to the medication?
Well, no, not necessarily.
So what does over-medicated mean to you in your profession?
Well, if someone were to prescribe a medication that was beyond the limit that safely can be prescribed, for example, it's possible to be toxic on, say, lithium, which is a medication that she took for a while she was at Tewksbury. And if I were prescribing, say, 1,200 milligrams of lithium twice a day, and her lithium level was toxic, as it would likely be, that would clearly be an example of over-medication.
And did you see any evidence of that scenario in the defendant's records that she was prescribed too high a dose to make her be at a toxic level of any medication?
I think those who were prescribing for her were responding to the symptoms that she was bringing. There was a kind of a rapid increase in the dose of Seroquel, and that higher dose of Seroquel was she did not. I believe she was ultimately prescribed at 400 milligrams, and she never ended up taking that. But as a clinician, we do our best to try and treat symptoms.
So, doctor, did you see, other than the Seroquel, any medications that the amount that was prescribed would think would be over medication? And then the Seroquel itself, you said she was prescribed up to 400 milligrams, but she reported that she never took that amount, correct?
Correct.
And after her stay at McLean Hospital, she had been weaned off of the Seroquel, correct?
That's right.
And the only medications after, immediately after leaving McLean Hospital were Trazodone and Valium, correct?
Correct.
Dr. Tufts added a medication as a result of her appointments with the defendant in January. Is that correct?
That's right.
And what was that medication?
That was amitriptyline, also known as Elavil.
And you saw that what the initial dose of that was, correct?
Correct.
What was that?
The initial dose from Dr. Tufts was 10 milligrams.
Is that a high dose for an adult?
No, it's the very smallest dose possible.
And then did Dr. Tufts increase that dose?
Yes.
And when was that?
After a week, she increased the dose from 10 milligrams to 20 milligrams.
And is that a significant increase in the dose?
No.
Is 20 milligrams a significant or large dose for an adult?
Not at all.
10 milligrams or 20 milligrams of amitriptyline, is that something you could even prescribe to a child?
Yes.
Now, doctor, based on your review of all of the records and your meetings with Ms. Clancy and your collateral interviews, did you form an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to whether or not Lindsay Clancy on January 24th, 2023 could appreciate the difference between right and wrong?
Yes.
And what was that opinion?
My opinion is that she did have the capacity to appreciate right from wrong.
And what do you base that on?
Well, on a number of things. Ms. Clancy had just met with her psychiatrist, Dr. Tufts, the day before. And in that discussion with Dr. Tufts, as documented, she denied suicidal ideation, and she also denied thoughts of harm to others. And also there was an ongoing conversation regarding future possible treatments, esketamine or TMS, which I spoke about yesterday, that could be employed to help her. Also, with regard to the appreciation between right and wrong, the planning involved prior to the strangling of her children, I thought was significant. The searches for distance of 3V, the searches of CVS, all done prior to her sending fairly late in the afternoon a text asking her husband if he didn't mind take out from 3B and then adding on. So that planning, that preparatory planning, I thought was significant. The avoidance of witnesses. You know, a witness during a time when one is committing a crime can intervene, not just report, but also intervene. And so the fact that this was done without any witness present during a time where she had asked the potential witness to go on a longer errand also I thought was significant. Concealment is another thing that I think indicated an understanding of right and wrong. I mean, the children were strangled all in the basement. And according to Mr. Clancy, the door to his office had been closed when he arrived to the basement. Timing was really, really significant in this. There was a window of time that Ms. Clancy was aware of in which she would need to kill
her three children, as well as to kill herself, which she expected would happen. She was conscious of time and told me that she had mapped out the distance, et cetera, because she didn't want her husband to be gone too long. But in this case, I think the issue of time and her husband returning, rather than being a solution for her, was a problem. And so to accomplish all of this in the course of that amount of time that Mr. Clancy was gone, I thought was significant, really showed an awareness of time. In terms of the weapons used, now these were exercise bands, but they were all near where the children were strangled. They were placed there. That's where they kept those exercise bands. And the exercise bands were nearly identical. I mean, very similar in terms of what they could do as ligatures. And so that use of weapons that were readily available and nearby also was significant to me in terms of her understanding of and planning. I did not see any evidence that she had delusions about her children, delusions as to something wrong with them or something that required them, because of a delusion, that they needed to die. I don't recall that she ever spoke about her children in a delusional way. Now,
look, we have a question.
Sure. Next question.
Were there other factors that influenced your opinion that she knew the difference between right and wrong?
Yes.
And what were they?
Well, the phone call at, 5:34 in the afternoon, I thought was significant. So Mr. Clancy was at CVS, and he called his wife, and she did not pick up. She did not answer. But she called him back and had that ability to deviate from what she was doing to be able to respond. And so had the presence of mind to do that, but also to conceal from him what was going on. Locking the door is another example. And you certainly, Ms. Clancy was aware of time and the limited amount of time to accomplish this. But by locking the door, it kept her husband from being able to enter the bedroom and therefore being able to see what had happened. So delayed that time. On arrival, her husband asked her what happened, and she did not confess. She did not tell him what had happened other than, "I tried to kill myself." She also did not report auditory hallucinations, but rather said that her the children were in the basement. It's my belief that she expected to die, and that by the time Mr. Clancy arrived, she would have successfully been able to take her life.
And, sir, did you form an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to whether or not Lindsay Clancy on January 24th, 2023, had the ability to conform her behavior to the requirements of the law?
Yes.
And what is that opinion?
Well, if we look at that day, we know that in the morning she took Cora to a pediatrician's appointment. And all physicians receive training in psychiatry, no matter what specialty they go in. That's part of medical school. And so like other doctors who had seen her who were not psychiatrists at appointments and whatever, the pediatrician also did not notice any unusual things about her. She did not, I mean, she was able to conform, right, to the type of behavior that a concerned mother would engage in. She was able to drive to the pediatrician's office and then back. And the day was really one of significant control. The activities that she engaged in that day, spending time with her children with Play-Doh, taking them outside to build a snowman, sending photographs of the children to her mother, to her husband on Instagram, fixing lunch and also fixing dinner for the children. So the activities of that day were controlled, as were the activities in terms of the planning that we already mentioned. So throughout the day, I mean, she was methodical and quite controlled and organized, even in that space of time that was short. There was a lot to do in terms of killing her children and also killing herself. And I would say that the last point with regard to conforming to the law is that when she received the phone call from her husband, she did not report to him that she was in distress, that she was having hallucinations, that she needed help. So with that phone, she, by calling her husband back and reassuring him by the fact that, yes, she knew the medication, whatever, that helped guarantee that he would continue on the errands. Had she not called him back, it would likely, or it certainly was possible that he would be concerned enough that he would return home. And so I think the phone figures in just in terms of her awareness and conforming her behavior such that the strangling of her children could be concealed.
And doctor, did you form an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to whether Lindsay Clancy on January 24th, 2023, when she strangled her children, was criminally responsible?
Yes.
And what is that opinion?
Yes, it is my opinion within a reasonable degree of medical certainty that Ms. Clancy was criminally responsible.
Move to submit Dr. Satoff's CV as an
exhibit. Any objection, counsel? No. All right, that may be admitted.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. Hold on a second, Ms. Reddington.
Exhibit 95.
Thank you. All right, counsel.
Morning.
Good morning.
So, Dr. Saratov, as I understand it, you conducted your investigation or examination of Lindsay by Zoom, correct?
Did you say by June?
Sorry, Zoom.
You know, by Zoom,
Zoom,
okay.
Television.
I thought you said, because it was the 4th of June. Yes, sir.
Okay. And can you tell us when you were first engaged by the district attorney's office to assist them in this case?
I first was informed about the case, I think, in January or early February of 2026, of this year. The final contract with the university was not completed, as I recall, until April.
And is that a matter of significant import when you're engaged in evaluating a young woman that's charged with triple homicide and you're hired by the government? The fact that there's a contract that wasn't signed by your school?
Well, sometimes it's a long process that I don't have any control over.
Sure, I understand.
I've seen those kinds of things take a while, take longer than one would necessarily want.
So the contract with your school that you're talking about would be the contract for your compensation, for your opinion?
Well, I would never be contracted for an opinion.
Okay.
But
you're getting paid, right?
No, I'm getting paid a salary.
Yes.
The university is getting paid.
And the university is deriving a benefit monetarily from your testimony or working on this case for the DA, right?
That's right.
All right. And how much did the university get as a result of your involvement in this case?
I don't know what the hourly rate is that they charge.
So you don't know what the hourly rate for your time is, right?
Correct.
You don't know how much money was paid by the district attorney's office to the university, right?
Correct.
You don't know how much money will be paid for perhaps yesterday, today, whatever, balance billing. You don't know that either, right?
That's right.
You were retained or engaged in January of 26, right?
Yes.
This is an incident that occurred on January of 23, right?
Yes.
In January of 23 to January of 26, 3 years.
That's right.
To being engaged on the case, right?
Correct.
And when you were engaged on the case, at some point the university must have been out of the picture and you must have started to communicate with the DA's office, the police, or whoever.
That's right.
And you knew about this case. It had a significant amount of publicity, right?
Yes.
Did you know that other doctors on behalf of the district attorney's office were being hired to also evaluate Lindsay?
I didn't specifically know that, but that's usually the case.
Is it important to see someone, to evaluate them as close in time as the incident is alleged to have occurred to your evaluation, or does it matter? In other words, is it better to see someone like, you know, within a month or two after an incident or three and a half years later?
Well, what's most important is the collateral information that was gathered at the time to understand what was going on at the time. Ms. Clancy's behavior during her hospitalization and the like, there are records. But certainly there are benefits to an examination closer to the event.
And you would agree with me, sir, that you actually saw and questioned or interrogated Lindsay, what, 2 months ago?
May 29th and June 4th.
Okay. And when you went to interview her in purposes of your evaluation, you had already accessed the collateral information, sir?
Yes.
Before I go there, let me just review a few things here on your CV, which the jurors will have to examine. You indicated to us your present employment. You have a private practice as a psychiatrist?
No.
Okay. So where do you see patients?
Well, I see patients in the prison system.
They're your patients?
Yes.
What do you do for those people that are in jail?
In prison, within the Virginia Department of Corrections, we have inmates within the prison system who suffer from mental illness and require assessment and treatment.
I see. So you don't have, when you said to the jury a little while ago, if I'm treating my patient and I would prescribe a particular prescription for my patient, and I wouldn't tell my patient to do whatever it is you said. It's not people that go to an office or see you or even on the television to be treated. These are people that are in jail, right?
Prison, yes.
So there's a difference between jail and prison, right?
Yes.
And this would be in Virginia, is it?
Correct.
So you're dealing with people that are serving hard time in the Iron Mansion, as they say. It's not a house of correction down the street, right?
I see patients who have different varying sentences. Some have life sentences. Some are scheduled for release, you know, in the coming month. So that really varies.
And you work on behalf of the state to evaluate prisoners to determine whether or not they are fit, if you will, to be released into society, right?
Once someone's sentence is over, the only way that they could be continued within a prison system would be to be committed to a psychiatric hospital. And I would say that in the 34 years that I've been treating inmates who are patients, I can only recall two times where, when discharge came up, their condition was such that they required to be civilly committed because of mental illness.
And when you are talking as a forensic psychiatrist evaluator, would that be on behalf of the BOP, Bureau of Prisons?
I have consulted with the Bureau of Prisons on just a few occasions, but
okay.
Bureau of Prisons is federal. And
yeah, I know that.
Most of my work has been with the state.
Okay, but on your resume, sir, you indicate from 2019 through the present, that's a number of years, that you have been employed or engaged as a forensic psychiatrist evaluator on behalf of the United States Bureau of Prisons as it relates to probation or parole. Is that in your resume?
Yes.
And that means, sir, that you evaluate inmates that are trying to get out of jail, and you would evaluate them to determine if they're appropriate for parole, right?
No.
Okay. So when you indicate on your resume from 2019 through the present, you're employed as a forensic psychiatrist evaluator for the United States Bureau of Prisons. How many of these evaluations did you do in the years from 2019 through 2026? 7 years.
I think I've done two or three. Yes.
Okay. 2016 through 2022, you're engaged as a consultant psychiatrist for the Elson Student Health Center. What is that?
That's the student health center at the University of Virginia. So that serves students who are at the university.
And like what? I mean, do you evaluate them? Do you treat them? Do you analyze them? What do you do for college students?
My work with the university and the health center really had to do with students who were having difficulty and had left the university and were interested in getting back. And so I was part of a three-person panel to evaluate the students to see whether or not it would be appropriate to bring them back to the university.
And what, were they like thrown out of the university or they were disciplined or something? Why would you bring them back? What does that mean?
Well, if there was an event that that caused concern, potentially was a threat, for example, then just for the student safety and the safety of all, they would leave the university in order to get the type of care that they needed. And then if they want to come back, then
I was part of a panel that would evaluate these students and make a determination about whether it was safe.
So these are students. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's all right.
Could okay. These are students, right?
Correct.
In college, right?
That's right.
That have been thrown out or disciplined or suspended or something, and they're trying to get back into school, right?
That's right.
And when the parents of the students come, they retain you to advocate on their behalf?
No.
No, you work for the school, right?
Correct.
You evaluate them and then back the school up so that these kids can't get back into the school, right?
Can you ask that question again?
No, that's all right. 1999 through the present, you work for the United States Department of Justice, the United States Department of State, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that would be the United States Attorney's Office, the prosecutors. Like, they're the state prosecutors. You got federal prosecutors, right?
Well, federal prosecutors and defenders. I've worked with both.
Well, the defenders certainly don't work for the United States Department of Justice or the United States Department of State, do they?
I was on the impression that federal public defenders were under the umbrella of the Department of Justice.
No, that's called the CJAC. That would be a totally different group of people. Oh. Those are people that defend people to try to have them not be abused by the system, if you will.
Yeah, that question would be stricken.
2015, you're a psychiatric consultant for the Virginia Office of the Attorney General. Another prosecuting arm, right?
Yes.
2013, Virginia Department of the Virginia Department of Corrections, least restrictive measures for segregation. You evaluate people to determine if they should be in MACs or disciplinary unit as opposed to general population. Is that what you do?
Yes, I've been asked to do that.
Okay. And you certainly don't advocate on behalf of the prisoners that are being placed in SEG or being placed in those closed units with higher security, right?
No, that's not true at all.
The National Security Expert, 2007 to the present, Oak Ridge United Associated Universities. What is that?
Yes, that is a group that that does research with the Behavioral Analysis Unit and the National Center for Analysis of Violent Crime, and I have done work with them.
Okay. Critical Incident Analysis Group, CIAG, University of Virginia?
Yes.
Okay. Behavioral Analysis Unit, as you told us yesterday, for the FBI at Quantico, right?
That's right.
Psychiatric consultant to the Virginia Department of Corrections, medium, maximum, and supermax facilities, right?
Yes.
Continuing on with your experience, sir, as a witness in this case, you'd agree with me that you were involved as a psychiatric consultant with the Macro Task Force on-site consultation for the Australian Police Service.
Yes.
Former Soviet Union project, Republic of Georgia, TBILISI, Georgia. You're involved with that, sir?
Tbilisi,
yeah. Critical Incident Response Group for the U.S. Air Force. You're in the assessment unit?
Yes.
Crisis Management Unit, investigative support for Operation Gray Sunset, Jordan?
Correct.
Crisis Management Unit, Investigative Support Unit, Critical Incident Response in Montreal, Quebec?
Yes.
FBI, National Center for Analysis of Violent Crime, Operation New Hope?
Yes.
Bureau of Criminal Investigation, that's BCI, for the Department of the State Police, would that be Virginia?
Yes.
You also have an interest in and have studied or written about various topics in your career, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Psycho hostage negotiations course, crisis management unit. You were involved with that, is that correct?
Correct.
That was a number of years ago, though. I guess that was like 1996.
That's right.
But you've been involved with the FBI for a long time, right?
Yes.
Fair to say that you're a government man?
Objection.
No, sustained.
Hostage negotiation course. How about Virginia Department of State Police? You're involved with them as well, sir? Yes?
Yes.
Advisory positions. You deal with Islam in prison is one of your interests, right? That was a TV program or something?
Correct.
You talk about National Institute for Justice, Standing Committee to Advise the Department of State on Unexplained Health Effects on U.S. Government Employees and Their Families Overseas, right?
Yes.
Analysis of pre-attack behaviors of the Las Vegas Shooter Behavioral Analysis Unit for the FBI?
Yes.
Skipping ahead, papers published. Now, when a doctor or a psychiatrist or any doctor, really, I guess, publishes a paper that's of interest to other doctors or people, that's called a learned treatise, right? Peer review?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me, what is peer review? What does that mean when you're dealing with a person's focus and interest in writing about what they're focused on?
So a peer review journal is one in which once an article is submitted, a paper for publication, that goes to qualified people within the same field who review it and make determinations about the quality and whether or not it should be published. Oftentimes, there will be some edits or suggested edits from those who have expertise. It's a blind process. So if I submit a paper and it's peer reviewed, I don't know necessarily at all who is reviewing it, but it's a way to ensure quality of articles that are published. And that's just an important standard.
So it's kind of a rigorous standard to make sure that what you're writing about is reliable and would be helpful to others that are interested in it, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, for example, also it depends on where you're publishing it. You can put something in the National Enquirer or you could put it in International Psychiatric something or other, right? Which would be a better publication.
I don't think the Enquirer is peer-reviewed, but...
So you certainly would agree with me that the International Journal of Law and Psychiatry is a respected source for learned treatises, right?
Yes.
And you would agree with me, sir, that you've been in here telling this jury all about Lindsay and how she didn't hear voices or did hear voices or exaggerated and lied. Have you written any articles at all on the concept of auditory hallucinations?
No.
Have you read any of them?
Read any articles? Yes.
Yeah, okay. You certainly have heard of Dr. Philip Resnick, yes?
Yes.
And it's fair to say, tell me if I'm wrong, is he literally a world-known authority in your field for filicide or the killing of children by their parents?
Yes, he's well-known.
And is he also well-written as far as auditory hallucinations, same stuff you've been testifying about?
Yes.
And he published an article in the International Journal of Law and Psychiatry, which is considered to be, if you know, a landmark article about, and I captioned, listening to voices, the use of phenomenology to differentiate malingered from genuine auditory verbal hallucinations. Now, did you read that article?
Yes.
So it is a peer-reviewed article published in a recognized journal, correct?
Correct.
Your Honor, I would offer this under Commonwealth versus Sneed for the jury, if they wish.
Objection.
Counsel Kassid, sidebar.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, mm-hmm. but The new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. That's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.